for the truth about yourselves. Let the wounds of your oppressors drown in this here ink. Be forever lost in the understanding of your divine purpose. Wander to freedom and call it home. Stand beneath the rainbow community. Be pulled into the earth's holy dome. I said drink, community. Remember that God pours his mighty liquid into your lungs. And as we stand together, I offer you this poem. And I say drink.
That program produced by Stephanie Brown of KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Producers of Color, a collaboration reporting on Hurricane Katrina. Our contributors this week include Areem Kathuda of DC Radio Co-op, Annalise WXOJ LP in Northampton, Massachusetts, Leroy Moore of KPFA in Berkeley, California, Brian Paris of KPFT in Houston, Texas, Stephanie Brown of KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. Production assistance came from Rupert of New College of California. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by the Pacifica Radio Network, thanks to Michael Yoshida of Satellite Operations. Our air traffic controller is Ursula Ruttenberg. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Ursula. Ursula at Pacifica.org. That's U-R-S-U-L-A at Pacifica.org. This week's producer was Don Foster, core faculty at New College of California. See you next week on Sprouts.
What if I were to tell you there is a terrorist training camp that has trained over 60,000 Latin American soldiers over the last 60 years? And the U.S. knows the location of this school. Many would be out.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And sorry for the pause on that, folks. It's not dead air. It is coming up, so stay tuned. Thank you. That's Danielle Savage, Blind, from one of her CDs. This is Free Radio, 101.1 FM. Today is November 3rd. I'm Robert Norris, and you are who you are. And if you want to be on the air, you can call in. This is a show about civil rights locally here in Santa Cruz, or our attempt to get them. And that's the best way to do it is by trying to get them together. We have more power that way. The phone number here is 831-427-3772. You can also jump on the chat room, which I'm about to open up here. Pagesincolor.com is the chat room address. And you just go to pagesincolor.com, as like I'm trying to do, but don't always succeed at doing. And you click on chat, of all things. And there you are. Not too hard. I'm doing it myself. You click on chat, then you go down to the bottom of the website and you write in your name or whatever moniker you want to use online, and voila, you're on the chat room. And I can keep an eye on you. My eye tends to wander. I get flack from my producer, Becky Johnson, for wandering, but hey, goes with the territory. But you can join in either on the phone or in the chat room, or if you want to call me off air, you can always call me on the Huff line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, civil rights group that somewhat slumbering right now, but still around, that I work with. It's at 423. The phone number for Huff is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. Huff also has a website where you can find these shows, and I apologize to those of you who have heard this thing before, but for those of you who haven't, and in case you do want to know, if you want to hear old shows, if you want to hear this show again, we actually have updated shows that are automatically being transferred to that website, as far as I know, unless we get a glitch out in some way. And again, that website is huffsantacruz.org. The name of the show is what you click on, and it's the rather funny-sounding name, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I don't have my bathrobe with me, but I did on Halloween evening, as I wandered around the mall looking for curious, interesting, and educational incidents. Found a lot of costumes, not too much education. I'm going to play you some of that just kind of in keeping with the spirit of the season. And then I'll get back to more serious business. You can get me back to more serious business sooner if you want to call in. 427-3772. It's the number here on the air. And just a very quick announcement. At the city council meeting on Tuesday, there's going to be a second reading of the bogus and somewhat imaginary Office of Compassionate Use being pushed by Rotkin and Riley, essentially as a legal prop for a lawsuit against the federal government and on behalf, in essence, essentially of states' rights, where the cities are essentially saying that we have a right to open an Office of Compassionate Use under the 10th Amendment, which says all rights not specifically delegated to the federal government are reserved to the people in the states. Rotkin actually promptly returned a call when I requested of him what the whole point of this Office of Compassionate Use is, since the last sentence of his law states the office shall not open until okayed by the federal courts. And as we know, the federal courts, the Ninth District Court of Appeals notwithstanding, and its good decision notwithstanding, the Supreme Court, which heads all the federal courts, has ruled marijuana of any kind is a criminal offense as long as it is kept a criminal offense by the federal government. And since that doesn't seem to be likely to be changing with the Republican federal bureaucracy firmly in place for the next 3 years, with the Congress Republican majority in place, with a likely top-heavy court Republican majority in place for the next 2 decades, we have to do something here and not wait for the feds. And Mike Rotkin, I'm going to ask him, Mayor Mike, what's up here? Why don't you actually start doing something real, like strike that last sentence and really open up an Office of Compassionate Use and really look for some medical marijuana access for people who only have access now to one club, thanks to your miserable medieval 2000 law, which essentially criminalizes all clubs unless you get some very unusual contortions and exceptions and so forth, as the Greenway Club on Du Bois Street did get in July. Again, compliments of Rotkin and Riley and the City Council, which I commend them for that. We shouldn't have to wait another 5 years for a second club to open, though, and we need more than one club. I mean, there's only one club between Hayward and Santa Monica, as far as I know, at least on the coast, and that's going to, Lisa Milano's Greenway is supposed to cover that. I think not. Anyway, Rotkin will be on the air, he promises, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's when this show returns on Sunday, and you'll be able to call in and talk to the mayor then and have him clarify exactly what the point is of a law that opens up an imaginary Office of Compassionate Use, which is going to be open only when the feds say it can open. What, are we going to wait to take a piss and go poo-poo until the feds tell us to do it, until the feds okay it? I understand it's part of an ACLU WHAM strategy to support the lawsuit by the corrals using the 10th Amendment. And I've got nothing against legal strategies, but I'm more concerned while we're waiting around for the lawyers to bill us their $100 and $200 and $300 an hour bills, includes our own city attorney, John Barisoni, that we also actually have access to medical marijuana. You know, access, like clubs will be allowed to open, like the Pacific Coast Cooperative downtown on Pacific was not allowed to open, or rather it was closed shortly after it opened because of Rotkin's 2000 law, the law he promised to reform in 2003, but has not. So that's what I'm going to be asking him on Sunday. Come on back then if you'd like. I'm going to play a little bit of the Halloween merriment downtown, or at least my take on it. Went around interviewing folks here and there, and I'll be getting back to you. You may hear the tape do an abrupt shift to a Mickey Mouse mode, in which case I'll just have to slow it down because the tape, unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, because it gives me more tape time, was recorded at 2 speeds. Right now, however, I think we're on the right speed, and pretty soon you'll hear, well, you'll hear about Halloween downtown on Pacific Avenue.
So it's about 9:35 on October 31st, Halloween, downtown on Front Street. I'm crossing over, jaywalking with the rest of the gang. Front Street is one of the few streets open, at least, let's put it this way, Pacific Avenue is closed.
Wait.
Groups of people are wandering about in festive outfits. A lot of people wearing makeup, masks, horns, sunglasses, you name it, man. Folks in black, folks in pink, folks with ears. There's a Rubik's Cube person. It's a festive evening. And looks like folks are having fun. So down here at Soquel and Pacific, streets are blocked off. Large generator allowing light to be spread on the crowd, which is filling the streets. Various degrees of costume. It's kind of like First Night used to be, although less commercial. I'm here in front of New Leaf Market. Sounds like a boom, boom, boom of music coming up. Are you coming or going?
We're going.
Oh, okay. How was it?
Oh, it's a little loud.
Yeah.
We can't compete with that, but we're going to be hitting on.
Name of your band?
Fish Tank.
Thanks, Fish Tank. There's also a large part of the street that is actually fenced off in the center of Pacific Avenue, all the way from New Leaf up to Cathcart and Pacific. Inside it are these huge elevated lights, and I guess it's an area for theoretically a police emergency vehicle to go. Here are some menads in high heels and scantily clad, all of the female persuasion, walking along the street. It's a visual spectacle, folks. You have to see it to see it. There are a few mock weapons, but no police officers yet that I've seen, or security personnel, at least none in uniform, and no military outfits. Lots of folks dressed up as angels or fairies. Some kind of pirate outfits, top hats, wigs. I don't know how to describe it all. People with large lollipops, very large lollipops. And a few children in the crowd, too, on their parents' shoulders, or that's what I've seen. And then here at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific, it's a drum circle of some kind. Let's shake it up, shall we?
Free radio rock!
All right, yes, yes! And a few questionable free radio types. So what's happening, free radio?
Free radio rocks, man.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. Any reports?
I'm a DJ in training at Santa Clara University radio station.
What's happening here tonight? Have you seen anything interesting? I've seen no police around.
No, they're hiding in the trees now.
How exciting, but there are no trees to hide in.
Yeah, luckily they cut them down.
Indeed.
And let the cops in them when they cut them down.
Well, thank you for the update, senor.
Certainly, senorita.
Grazie. Any comments, sir?
Robert, what are you doing out tonight?
I'm trying to find a place to sleep, but this is Santa Cruz. We're approaching the center of Cathcart and Pacific intersection here. Looks like some of the taller angels, or are they butterflies, are dancing. Are they on stilts, or is it a raised platform? That's the question. It looks like these people have either very long legs or... No, it looks like stilts. Is it stilts? What do you think? No, you don't think so. Impressive.
Beautiful.
What do you think?
What?
You like that?
Yeah, beautiful.
I agree. We have a few cross-dressers, a man dressed as a nun. There's the scream person. There's a fire woman. And what are you dressed as, madam? All right, then. I heard that.
Where's the horse? I can't see over there.
And a lot of crowd activity. All right. And who are you, sir?
I'm nobody.
And what are you dressed as?
Nobody.
And how would you describe yourself?
All that and ism, because nobody cares, nobody shares, nobody wears whatever the fuck he wants.
Sort of the white mask of Zorro, perhaps?
Yeah, kind of like
the white undershirt of Zorro.
The modern Zorro, huh?
Well, thank you, and have a pleasant evening.
And for the people.
This plane valley is packed.
Okay. Somebody hurt you, I see. A man with an apparent bullet wound. And there's the first military outfit. There's a scantily clad man with wings. A number of scantily clad guys. enthusiastic crowd.
Hold it.
We're kind of the catalyst now. A really young crowd, looks like to me. Maybe I'm just too old for this. But it looks like everyone is under 25. Or maybe everyone just looks under 25. It's all that makeup. More people out of costume than in costume.
How you doing, man?
All right. They got a witch, a devil, a man with a ducky. Looks like an Arab with a very weathered face. Another screamy person. A couple of leprechauns. This is quite a crowd. All right, sir. Just who are you?
It is as it is.
And how would you describe the crowd tonight?
They are as they are, but thank God.
And are you a religious man?
Predominantly, I would say almost.
Well, thank you for those thoughtful answers. Anything else you wish to add?
I love your book, but I think the movie was even better.
Thank you. Couple of plumbers, impressive, with plungers. Now here we are at the Union Grove parking lot, where a number of people are, as you can hear, drumming it up. And folks walk by. This is a sort of an older group, both older and younger. A few beards, but not as many as you would think. And the first sight of the Santa Cruz police. We have three police officers walking through the crowd. We're just sort of not doing anything in particular. Now there's a group of four, a bunch of them, a total of five of them. They're leading a woman off to the side, having her sit down.
Hey! Where's he at? Where's he at?
And she's some kind of problem, but we'll see what that is.
Can you guys see it?
All I see is all I know is a dude pushing a girl.
And police. What happened?
I just saw some fucking dude came up. This chick, I guess, got really pissed off and fucking pushed her. They were talking shit, and fucking the dude came up, cracked a gun over her head. So she's had a fucking split, and then she kept fighting and shit, and then she started passing out on the ground.
Yeah. And she was just, she sat down on the curb with a couple of cops.
Yeah.
Helping her. What's happened to her now? Where is she?
She's probably going home. I don't know where she is. They took her off. But.
So you saw her threatened with a weapon, or just what was
a
it?
A plastic gun. The guy came up and cracked a plastic gun over her head.
Oh, you hit her with a plastic gun?
Yeah, he broke it over her head.
He was angry with her, or was it a joke?
Yeah, he was angry with her, obviously, because she came up and pushed his girlfriend or something, so he clocked her over the head. I don't know.
How was he dressed?
In a camo suit. Camo with a fucking camo hat.
It's quite a hairdo you got there.
Yeah. I got some video footage.
Did you? So what did you?
Yes, I did.
You mean of this incident or about this stuff?
I got the aftermath of two individuals, one male, the other male. After the male and the female clashed. I caught the aftermath of the two individuals fighting each other.
Was this recent? Hang on just a second.
This was just on the avenue on Halloween night, 2005.
Right. This was a few minutes ago? Or?
Yes, this was recently, just a few minutes ago.
And were the police involved, or was it just sort of a...
I caught the aftermath. The aftermath. Yes. Yes.
Your name, sir?
I am Spencer Yule. I'm sorry, I'm quite intoxicated at this moment.
We'll accept that. Say that again.
Matters matter, and matter is all that matters. Everyone should study alchemy. The world would be at peace.
Dig it. And we're talking with?
We're talking with the mysterious figure.
With two samurai swords, or at least one samurai sword, and some other...
No samurai swords. For decoration, English and European.
Well, thank you very much.
Who might you be, sir, with that mask on?
I'm the governor.
Governor Arnie.
Arnie.
And you're drinking a wacky beer of some kind.
Rockstar.
Rockstar. Is that Arnie's brand?
Well, Maria told me to get in touch with my girly man side.
Well, that's good. There are a lot of girlies around. There are a lot of men around. Maybe we can get the two involved with each other.
Right.
Well, thank you, Arnie.
You too. Nice.
Anything you have to say that might be clever?
I'm having a great time.
And you?
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And her name, Beast. Everything to say for Free Radio?
Yeah.
Now, you look like you haven't shaved in some time.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah, you're very brown. You have claws, and you have you're some kind of vulpine creature.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything else?
Yeah. I think.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So it's about 10 o'clock, and I'm up here in front of a community TV. The crowd is thinner, and so we have these numerous mouseketeers and devil ears, and there's a couple of baggy folks. I'm not quite sure what these outfits actually represent, and perhaps I'll find out by asking folks exactly what they're dressed as. You actually have a few small people here, too. So what are you dressed as?
A sumo wrestler.
You are, in fact, a sumo wrestler?
Yes, I am.
Can you prove that? Do you have any ID on you?
Not really. No, not at the moment.
Even if she had some ID, sir, it wouldn't say that she's a sumo wrestler because ID certificates do not state your profession.
Now, can you vouch for her as being a true sumo wrestler? Or is she, in fact, not really a sumo wrestler?
I'm going to be honest with you. She's faking.
She's faking that sumo wrestling?
Yeah.
How could you do such a thing?
I'm her grandmother, and I just want to let you know that I bought her the Halloween costume at the supermarket.
So are you suggesting you're helping this minor to fake being a sumo wrestler?
Yes, I am.
This is shocking. Grandma. Can you call the police, please?
Actually, I would, but my cell phone has a tendency to route police calls to Redwood City.
We'll get back to you.
Okay, it would be wonderful.
Thank
All
you,
right.
And good luck with the sumo wrestling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grandma.
Uh-huh, not a problem.
All right, so now inquiring minds want to know, what are you dressed as?
An angel.
And you?
A pirate.
And you?
Mafia henchman.
And you?
A gypsy.
Now inquiring minds know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Free Radio thanks you. Everybody knows what they're dressed as. The crowd is thinning out about up here, but there's still, the streets are the people's for this one night. There's a man with a pitchfork. Watch him. Be careful. And somebody has a jar of ketchup. Many a costume and occasionally a mask. And up here near the median of, as we approach Laurel and Pacific, occasionally a security guard in friendly conversation with the crowd. So that looks pretty good. All right, so here's a couple sitting on the median. Just what are you, who do you represent? What the heck are you dressed as?
Dorothy.
And you are?
The Undertaker.
And this is sort of the undertaking of Halloween.
That's correct.
Now,
what are you?
I am a man in a bathrobe seeking a place to sleep in a city that criminalizes the homeless. Covered with buttons as well. Any comments about the
sleeping tonight?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Hey, I know these guys!
There's a hobo. Somebody do something.
Be careful.
Well, thank you. Anything you've observed you wish to comment on for Free Radio?
A lot of nurses out here.
Hey!
Santa Cruz is long overdue for a nudist festival, I think.
You take it off, and I'll try to.
All right.
Thank you. There's the first video camera.
Yeah.
I haven't seen many of them.
Happy Halloween, dude.
So what's happening? And you're dressed as a...
I see you every year.
It's true.
Thank you.
Well, the same to you, sir. What's your name?
My name's Jared Miller.
And Jerry, what do you think of this year? You were here last year. How does it compare?
There's a lot better costumes last year.
Really? You think it's kind of... Is it because people are poorer this year? Or?
It's because shit happens.
You're reading that from somewhere. I can tell that.
I'm reading UCSC. I live here, but I don't grow up UCSC.
You're a... Oh, an educated man.
No, but I'm a local man that is educated.
You seen
point proven.
Seen anything tonight that struck your interest you think we should know about?
I don't like how UCSC fucking takes over my moon rocks. I live in Bonnie Doon.
Well, welcome to Santa Cruz.
Exactly. Moon rocks should be fucking local. It shouldn't be UCSCized. In my opinion.
I hear you. Now, here's a man approaching. Can you guess what his costume is?
I have no clue.
I have no clue. He has a net over his
head. Thank you. Showing up every year.
All right.
You too.
What are you putting in this thing?
Is it
Norse code?
Well, yeah.
Well,
that's quite a hairy chest you have, sir.
Dot.
Now that requires some explanation. Can you please translate?
Well, since he's a product of lower education, I would assume it doesn't amount to much of anything.
Is he a dot sort of thing?
Yes, well, this lower form of communication is something that I hear on a regular basis coming from the sorts of hell.
I tell you what, you get out your manual helm, you translate that, and it'll come out to something more sublime than such a product of higher education.
Well, I notice you have a very hairy chest, but you have similar hair on your mustache. What does this mean? Is this some secret code?
Discerning powers of mind and intellect.
I'm on top of it, man. We're here at the liquor and gum store. Thank you very much.
Of course.
And, sir, what are you? What exactly are you?
I'll take the $12 jar.
The line has got to be very crowded in the store. And I'll talk to these folks outside. What are you dressed as, sir?
What you fear. Or Jack the Ripper, baby.
Thank you. He has a black mask on. Now we're talking to Night Sky. And you are?
I am a moral dilemma.
So you are, this is an extremely sophisticated couple here.
Yeah.
Now, when you're not in your secret identities, how are you known in your everyday life?
I'm Carolyn.
And you're?
Jennifer.
And this is your first evening here on Pacific Avenue Halloween, or you've done this before?
My second.
Now, last year, what did you come as?
Last year, I didn't come.
Last year, you?
Rosie the Riveter.
And how come you've abandoned this rather basic Rosie? Is this a conservative trend that's happening here?
No, I think we're on the radical uprise for sure. So,
all right. So
not.
Again, you are the night
sky.
I see. You're very, very black and starry. You have stars and twists and turns. I don't see the Milky Way though.
Well, not in any way an accurate representation.
This is more of a symbolic representation.
Certainly, rockets do not look like this.
No, that's a good point. And you're. But you're here.
And that's the important part.
Are you costumed, or is this your everyday gear?
I'm a little of this, a little of both, actually.
Okay.
I wear these to sleeping protests.
Ah.
We're trying to decriminalize sleep for the homeless.
Decriminalize.
Yes. I'm not sure. It has no light. It's hard to tell if you're taking a photo or not.
Yeah.
All right, now here's a man with a big white beard. Sir, are you Santa? No, you can't be Santa.
No, I'm just a wise old man.
You're a wise man. You, madam, you're some kind of a putty tat?
Just like you. Yeah, I'm going as my cat tonight.
You left your cat at home, and you're kind of doing, you're slumming?
Yeah,
or you're...
I feel a little bit sorry for my cat, because we just moved, and he has to stay home alone. He's a little bit, he's a stray cat, and I took him in.
Is he a hep cat?
Yeah, very, very. And he's a little shy, and he doesn't dare to go out much right now, because we moved, so I'm going out for him.
You're going to tell him all about it when you get back.
Yes, exactly. He'll be getting his confidence back, so.
Can you tell him you're associating with strange bearded men? Are you going to break that to him?
You know him, probably.
I'm not sure. Do I know you?
You know me.
Yeah. I know you.
No, well, does that mean I get a hug or not?
You're the most famous man in Santa Cruz.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I know that. I think I know that. And
I like your show. Love it.
I see you on TV at the meetings, the city council meetings. The last one was really good.
When I'm not being arrested, that is.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look, thank you. Look, that's good. Good one.
Hey, listen, it's dueling tape recorders here.
Yeah, let's record the recorders.
There we go. Have you seen anything tonight that you think people at Free Radio audience should know about? Anything interesting that's happened downtown? Or
we just got here a few minutes ago.
Just got here.
Okay, well,
what can we say? You know, people. I saw something really good on TV. The View.
Please don't lie to me. I got I don't know what you see, and I see through all your greed and feel what I don't need. So I was the brother of life in the fast lane. You're going uptown and you feel insane. You bear a spat, your boss I do. You're hurling on yourself and you got shit in your shoe. So live up and down to my high expectations. You don't, I'll give you some organ rotations. Prediction, addiction, tell me a little more. You don't move a thing and you're gonna be a little soul. So please, please, won't you come down on me? I got no compass and I'm much left to see. But as long as I'm here on this earth, I'm giving you what you deserve. And just because I'm laughing doesn't mean I'll take your shit. And just because I'm acting nuts doesn't mean I'll suck your dick. PhD's a novelty like a trophy. Too many means to really see me. First impressions have no taste. Such a waste to get caught up on who you think you are. The illusion of security is what makes us weak. See, what you need is what you see. And what we see is what we be. No reason to need this. It just is. So transfixed. Cause in these times it's a crime to find mind with you behind the times or read between the lines. It's so blinding. Yeah, well, stay up crying for the love that's hiding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can feel me up or feel me down, and still you won't feel your way up around my head. But if I scream for tomorrow, you know we're better off dead. At least that's what they say. At least that's what they say. So please don't lie to me, cause I don't know what you see. And I see through all your greed and feel what I don't need. Everybody's talking. Is anybody walking? Here I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here I go. The unfettered mind, it was on five times. Believing his crimes, realizing it's not fine, not mine. All swine. We're dining and dining and dining and finding I'm blinded by excess. What I need is much less. Yeah, we find it harmless to regress into a state of apathy and greed, where we eat away at others' needs, not hearing the pleas as they suffer, so we can leave what we perceive as a better life. Cause you're like a knife, insides ripped out, there's so much strife. And we believe that it's the only way. So please don't lie to me, cause I don't know what you see. And I see through all your greed and feel what I don't need. Everybody's talking. Is anybody walking? Here I go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was Danielle Savage again on the line. A caller who's got a comment on the song. Hi, caller.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Cool.
What's your name, caller?
Mark.
Hey, Mark. Welcome to Free Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it. I love Free Radio.
Hey, we're glad to hear that. At least I am.
Yeah. You know, it's a blessing to have, you know, an outlet like that where people can really express themselves contrary to the mainstream point of view.
Hear. You got any thoughts on what... I've been playing a lot of Halloween stuff. Is it putting you to sleep? Are you interested? Any comments? What'd you do on Halloween yourself?
Well, you know, I don't really celebrate those type of holidays. I'm mainly trying to, you know, remove contamination from my thinking. That's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Remove contamination?
Yeah, I mean, you know how we grow up and we get taught in school and taught by our parents and all that kind of stuff, and then somehow we develop, like, survival mechanisms and bad habits and stuff like that.
Are you a Santa Cruzan yourself?
Pardon me?
You from Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I'm in Aptos right now.
Huh. And have you been listening for very long on the radio tonight?
No, I think I came in to your... Actually, you know what? I was listening, I must admit, even though I listen to free radio, I listen to KZSC.
Oh, fine.
And I was listening to the KPFA news, but it was going in and out. You know, it was like the clarity was suffered, so I switched over to you guys, and I caught it right in the middle of the Halloween interview, which is great. You know, it's good for someone to just walk around and talk to ordinary people. You know, you don't get that anywhere else.
Well, I'm glad you weren't bored. I was getting a little bored listening to myself babble on, but thank you.
No, no, it adds another color, you know, a color we don't really get normally.
When you actually called up in the middle of Danielle Savage's song, BBB is what it's called, and you asked me what the name of her CD was, and I told you I really couldn't tell you. What I can tell you is that if you want to get a hold of her and you want to get a hold of her CDs, I would say go online for Danielle, D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E, Danielle Savage, Savage like in Savage, Danielle Savage 2004 at yahoo.com is her email address. And she's also got a web address at www.daniellesavage.com. And she says, please contact me to rant, complain, donate, or any other possible reason you could think of. More recordings are soon on their way.
Cool. I'm starting to feel this, you know, the Diane Patterson type of, you know, that sort of vein where it's kind of spoken word-ish, kind of folk. You know, it has a nice flow to it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, she's got a very unique sound. Well, some people find it not as pleasant as I do. I'm a big Danielle Savage fan. Thanks for calling in, Mark. Anything final?
No, just keep on with it, man. I'm happy to, you know, I'm happy that we have something like Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, I am too.
All right.
Thank you, man.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Free Radio, according to the little sign here, or Freak Radio, as we sometimes call ourselves, needs donations. And if you want to donate, sorry about this pitch, but it's true, you can make your checks payable to FRSC, and you can mail them here to P.O. Box 7507, 7507 Santa Cruz 95061, 7507 Santa Cruz 95061. You can also go to our website, freakradio.org. And you can kick down some money there through PayPal. And you can also catch the stream there in case your radio, we fuddle out because sometimes our transmitter goes kaput. And sometimes we get our equipment seized by the FCC. And sometimes we have internal factional fights. And we got all kinds of weird shit going on here at Free Radio. But most of the time, in fact, 24 hours a day, pretty much, Free Radio Santa Cruz is on the air. And it's on the air doing stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else, as far as I know. Not just my show, a wonderful, unique show from the most famous man in Santa Cruz, according to one person. But, you know, you get a variety of stuff. Admittedly, you're not going to get much pro-Israeli government stuff on here or Michael Savage, but you can probably get some of that stuff elsewhere if you're looking for it. And what you're going to get here is, at least on my show, you get a lot of local stuff, and you get a lot of commentary on the left, frankly. Plus, you get a lot of kind of unique, you get music that you're not going to hear anywhere else. I'm going to stop the commercial blather. What I think I'm going to do now is play, you know, encourage you, but do, you know, we need your stuff. We need your equipment. We need your money. We need your support. We need your listenership, too. Looks like we got a caller, maybe even a listener. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Yes, sir. This is Uncle Dennis's fan from Los Angeles.
Oh, it's our long-distance listener, Uncle Dennis.
And I am calling because you just have done the unforgivable.
Uh-oh. What did I do?
You were commenting, I believe, about Daniel Savage, the singer.
Yes.
And you said about her song or about her style. You said it is very unique.
Mm-hmm. Very unique, yes. Oh, you see, Mr. English teacher is at me again. You're going to get it there,
no,
L.A.
No, but this has become... become, this has become a national scandal. People say very unique.
How about most unique?
Do you like rather unique.
Somewhat unique?
Somewhat unique. And, you know, anyway.
You prefer unique, I would take it.
You can't, you know, it's like pregnant. It's like pregnant. Something is either pregnant, you can't be. Sometimes they say very pregnant for a woman who is.
What about a partial birth pregnancy?
Now we're getting into the proposition whatever territory.
Yes, somewhat pregnant, a little bit pregnant.
But then when you said you
had to call me up and you had to make an issue of it, didn't you, Los Angeles?
Well, that one, and also media, which is now used as a singular, which had a specific meaning as a plural. You know, mass media. But now they just say the media is doing this, the media is doing that.
Right, because it's no longer the medium is the message, it's the media.
The mass media used to be radio, television, or newspapers, etc., uh-huh. etc. And now when people say media, it's increasingly the medium, which is the television. I mean, kids are growing up thinking that the media is television, that radio or newspapers or things like that are nothing.
Well, there is the internet, of course.
Well, now that with that with you, we have opened a can of worms.
Oh, a fine can of worms for
now,
my money.
Now, since I'm in my teacherly guise, I will tell you a couple of things, and then I'll hang up because I don't want to. Have you read Down and Out in Paris and London?
Yes.
Okay.
Not for a long time, though. That's a George Orwell book, or Eric Blair, if you will.
Yes, and that's the homeless book that I thought I would tell you, and I don't know if you discerned in that book the huge anti-Semitic bias.
Of George Orwell?
Yeah, that was all over in this country and in Europe before the Second World War.
Well, I remember that other homeless house painter... Adolf Schnickelgruber, who was down and out in Vienna for a long time, you know.
Well, but anyway, that's a whitewashed part of history. It was pandemic, in this country. I mean, Henry Ford had sponsored newspapers.
Well, I think that's a good point. Although, you know, for me, though I'm of Jewish ancestry myself, I'm not religious, and I don't put much stock in racial backgrounds and so forth. But, you know, I'm more concerned about philo-Semitic pro-Israeli government horseshit coming from neocons in Washington.
For that, all people have to do is to go and look at online. In fact, they can go and look at Israeli newspapers, and they will see that they are much more critical of their own government than anything that you read in this country.
I believe it.
And that very easily, you know, diffuses that whole business of...
Yeah, but to criticize the Israeli government in this country is, you know, is the kiss of death. I mean, you know, good luck. And the lobbyists are so strong, you get the Cynthia McKinney treatment.
Well, I was born a Shia Muslim, and I was born in Iran, where being anti-Semitic is just taken for granted, and I never knew why. I did not grow up with that sense, and later on I found out why, because my father was educated in France before the Second World War.
I'm sorry, you found out why what?
Why I wasn't, I was not raised with this, with this endemic hatred of Jews in Iran as a Shia Muslim.
Right.
And I found out that it was because of my father, who was educated in France between the two wars, and he had Jewish friends, and of course he opposed Hitler, and he simply didn't allow that kind of talk in our home.
Well, it was sort of like Americans escaping to Paris who were African American in order to escape the racism of America, I guess. Huh?
He actually was this was early in the century, and he was among the first group of Iranians who were sent abroad to become educated and go back. And he was one of the people who founded the University of Tehran. And anyway, so So anyway, sir, as usual, a pleasure to speak to you. Oh, and the other book is Travels with Lisbeth.
With Linda?
With Liz, Travels with Lisbeth. With Lisbeth.
With Liz, Lisbeth?
Lisbeth, like Elizabeth, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Gotcha. And who wrote that?
I have to...
I've heard of Travel...
I found it. It's standing right here. It's by Lars.
Who?
His first name is Lars.
L-A-R-D?
L-A-R-S.
Lars. Lars, okay.
And then Einar, I believe, is how it's pronounced, and it's E-I-G-H-N as in Nancy, E-R.
Huh.
And this is really the modern homeless narrative. And there's a section in this about dumpster diving, which is really brilliant. There are two sections of it, one about dumpster diving and one about him camping one night near
again,
Los Angeles.
Again, the name of this book is Lisbeth's Travels with Lisbeth.
Travels with Lisbeth. Travels, like Travels with Charlie. This is Travels with Lisbeth.
L-I-S-B-E-T-H.
L-I-Z-B-E-T-H.
Gotcha. And this is Lars...
Einar.
E-I-N-E-R.
E as in Edward, I as in Ian, and then G as in George, H, N as in Nancy, E-R.
Gotcha.
Lars Einar. And the dumpster section is good, the cave section is good, but when you start this book from the first jokes about, you know, about the car and cool whip and stuff, you literally can't put it down. It became very successful when it came out a few years ago.
Huh. Maybe I'll take a look at it.
Yes, sir. Well, as they say, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye. And the phone line is open, 427-3772. Remember, 11 o'clock on Sunday, if you want to hear Mayor Mike Rotkin explain his phantasmal It'll Never Exist, but we're creating it anyway, Office of Compassionate Use, tune in to 101.1 FM. I'll be talking to him, assuming he keeps his word and calls in. And I will say this for Mayor Mike, although I will be squaring off with him in criminal court on December 12th for facing a year and a half in jail myself for, quote, disrupting a public meeting. Nonetheless, Mike, in the last couple of weeks, he's been returning, well, he certainly returned at least two phone calls. I can't quite get an appointment with him, and I can't get him to release his schedule as far as his public schedule so the community can know where he's going to be so they can meet with him if they want to and be a part of public events if they want to. No, Mike won't allow that to happen. And he won't allow us to know which lobbyists he's met with in spite of the Sunshine Initiative from last year passed by the voters of the state of California. We don't get to know that. But I will say I had a courteous conversation with Mike earlier today, and he very quickly agreed to come on the air and to talk about the issue of the Office of Compassionate Use, or the imaginary Office of Compassionate Use, as I call it. We also will have with us, I believe, Anita Henry of MedX. You heard her last Sunday. This woman kicks ass, and she will be hopefully grilling the good mayor on his pretensions and his hopes. We have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on free radio.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
Can you kind of explain what's going on with Paul Sanford now?
You know, I think rather than do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call Paul.
Good.
And see if maybe we can get him on the air, because I did talk to him earlier today and he expressed a willingness to, if I can get a hold of him,
oh, good,
get him on the air.
Thank you, Robert.
Sure. So I'm going to do that now, give a call to Paul and see if we can actually get some action here from that Washington man. Let's see if he's around here. And we're ringing him, as you can hear. We may actually be able to pick him up, although he's a hard man to reach on the air. He's the subject of a story in the Good Times today. In fact, he's got his picture, big picture of Paul Sanford on the cover of the Good Times Weekly here in Santa Cruz. But it looks like we may not be able to get him. His phones are ringing, and we ain't getting
him. Hi, this is Paul Sanford.
Oh, dear.
Please leave me a message, and please leave your area code and phone number. Thank you. Bye.
We'll leave him a message, and we'll also try him on the other line. That's that very annoying message. Oh, boy. Hey there, Paul. Free Radio calling in about 5 to 7. I'm afraid I'm calling you late, and maybe that's the reason I'm missing you. I'm going to try you at home as well. Let's see if we can get you. A caller actually called in to ask about what was cooking with this story in the good times. If you want to get back to me, call me at the studio. Try 427-3772. Thanks. And now I'm going to try and call him again on his home phone. See if we can actually reach the man. And we're ringing him, I think, and we'll see if we can get some action at the home phone. It's a ringing phone, but we may be...
Hello?
Paul Sanford.
Hi, Uncle Bob.
Hey, listen, this ain't Air America, it's Air Santa Cruz, but we want to talk to you.
I think that's happening.
Well, you know, I've got this rather extensive good times story sort of in front of me. I haven't read it over, you know, very closely.
You haven't memorized it?
Not at all, no. But I saw the long piece that you paid Sarah Phelan to write in the Metro Santa Cruz.
Yes, you know she's been working for me for years, except for when she disparages me.
Just kidding, folks. Paul, you are a local attorney who has become a journalist slash, I guess, your own talk show host is what you're aspiring to be, right?
Just put all the slashes on there.
We don't want you slashed, but in fact, some people are trying to slash you. That's what KSCO manager Michael Zwirling apparently did, about a month ago after agreeing to a contract with you and then dumping it?
Yeah, well, the sequence of events actually happened late July, so it's been 2 or 3 months, but yes.
And you, of course, gained some fame. I was going to say notoriety, but I think it's more fame. By getting yourself into the White House press corps, asking that master of sleaze and lies, what's his name, McClellan?
Scott McClellan, yes.
Scott McClellan, the president's front flack man.
Hey, it's a hard job. Someone has to be the voice of the
I bet, yeah. And there are plenty of other, yeah, right, that's true. I suppose Hitler had to have a press agent, too.
Hitler loved animals.
Indeed he did. And I'm sure George Bush has a soft spot in his heart for a number of people that are close to him. Or there's certainly a soft spot in his head, but I won't get into that. These gratuitous shots at the Fuhrer are not really appropriate. What is appropriate is to understand that you actually asked him a strong question, which was the first time the word treason had ever come up. I could quote the article, or I can let you just say, what was your question?
Well, I probably can't say it specifically, but something to the extent of that there had been a lot of speculation in the recent past about the underlying statute in the grand jury investigation involving Mr. Rove, and to what extent had the White House counsel and White House staff reviewed that statute to determine whether a violation of same would, in effect, constitute treason.
And Rove, of course, is the chief of staff of Vice President Dick Cheney. That's the guy who was at Rumsfeld, who was shaking hands with Saddam Hussein in the 80s and then bombing him in the 90s. Actually, I guess he bombed him in the 2000s.
Well, there's irony surrounding almost all of the unfortunate leaders that we've propped up and then chosen to turn against.
Not to mention the Clinton White House that starved the Iraqi children and the Iraqi nation for 8 years as well, which some claim killed more than Bush has ever killed in Iraq. Which
is entirely possible.
Right. But you, on the other hand, raised the issue and used the word treason. You asked, would the current statute, I guess we're talking about the Intelligence Act of 1982 or whatever it is,
yeah,
that was designed to snag lefties like Philip Agee, in the 70s, from exposing CIA agents.
Right.
Now suddenly all the Democrats are getting very sacrosanct about how wonderful our CIA is, and we don't want to expose them. But, you know, mainly it looks to me like a blatantly partisan move, which, you know, I mean, I'm sympathetic to expose Bush's bullshit and Cheney's lies.
The hypocrisy is not new to either party.
Correct.
or any people who are pushed up against the wall.
Right, but I find it kind of, you know... I'm quite happy to see the CIA exposed all over the world, but of course it's ridiculous as to have these guys going after critics of theirs who are exposing the myths around the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and the lies about trying to get a hold of uranium from Niger in the year before the war, although there was, I guess, a real attempt to get some in the late 90s, but not the year before the war. And you were raising that question in the sacred portals of the White House press conference room.
Well, it's kind of, the first point is it's not sacred. And I think any of us left who have any Jeffersonian sensibilities whatsoever recognize that the president shouldn't be protected by the song Hail to the Chief, and the president should not be protected by a coterie of press that's solely representing multinational corporations, as opposed to citizens and independent people who want to ask the hard questions. And sadly, in my opinion, it's not just in the White House, it's in the State House, and it's in the court of power throughout our government, is that the elected officials select representatives to ask them questions who are only safe people. In other words, folks connected to multinational corporations and folks who benefit from their access directly. Wouldn't it be better if people who had no economic stake and who didn't represent major corporations were allowed to ask questions as well? That this is my thesis.
Well, who could disagree with that? I guess the question...
A lot of people could, sadly, Robert. A lot of people think that if you're not with ABC or Murdoch or Roger Ailes or Fox, that you damn well are not invited to the party, and you have a lot of nerve even trying to arrive.
Well, let me ask you about the party.
You know that's true, though, or you don't have to agree with me.
Oh, no.
That's
I certainly,
very strong opinion.
No, I agree with you, Paul. I'm just wondering, in that room where you asked these questions, did you have any sense of, were there any other independent writers? Helen Thompson's name was mentioned, I guess.
Yeah, Helen Thomas was there. Thomas. She's independent. Well, she's not independent in the sense that she's been a mainstay with Scripps and has been, since the Kennedy administration, a leading reporter. And for 25 years, she got to ask the first question at every White House press conference. That tradition was broken by the Bush administration. She's more independent now, to the extent a 90-year-old person who's had a life career working inside the White House can be independent. But
even she didn't use the word treason. You're the one who did, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that I deserve any great kudos for that.
Sure you do. It was a good thing to do. Thanks for doing it,
Paul. Well, I appreciate that, and those are kind words. But I think answering your question, that to my knowledge, there was one other independent person in the room. It was a blogger, and ironically, this blogger blundered and reported wrongly on his website that I had identified myself as a representative of Air America. He made an honest mistake. I don't know anyone who would want to brag that they're with Air America, because although well-intentioned, it's more or less, as far as I can tell, a failed enterprise.
Yeah, Air America is not the CIA drug smuggling group from the 60s that some may remember that funded from the Opium Triangle, the Vietnam War, and the Laos bombing. Rather,
I think that's Air Noriega.
That was from the 80s. That's another one. But Air America is...
Is that Air Allende?
Allende was actually, I think, one of the better guys, not one of the worser guys. But Air America actually was a CIA-run airline from the 60s that flew, guns for, actually it was dope for guns, and helped to fund, I guess it was the Laotian pro-right-wing...
Now, if this audience is following this at all, then let me suggest that Air America was probably piloted by George Jackson then.
That's sacrilege. I'm going to have you arrested for these comments.
Not again.
Yes. Actually, Air America that you're talking about can be found every weekday on KOMY, one of Michael Zwirling's two stations at 1340.
Right.
It's a kind of the Democratic PAP. It's not quite PAP. I mean, I'm glad they're attacking Bush and being critical, but it's a straight-line Democratic Party kind of run.
It's also, I think, a failed effort in the sense that they thought they were going to counter Limbaugh and O'Reilly,
right,
and do things differently. Instead, they're doing the same thing. It's name-calling from the left. And I think we all deserve better than name-calling.
Right. I mean, I don't even think it's from the left. I mean, these people have got no plan to get out of Iraq whatsoever. I don't think they can be called from the left, just as nobody in the Senate on the Democratic side Even counting people like, what's his name, Feingold? Is that his name, Paul Feingold?
Yep.
You know, he's, what's he got? He's got a plan to have a plan to do something in 2006.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that the New York Times is not a liberal newspaper. Please don't go.
I would never say that. Judith Miller is one of my favorite writers. So we have all these in comments, everybody's saying, what's all this crap you're throwing around on the radio, Robert? I'm talking with Paul Sanford here, a local attorney who is, frankly, whose actions in defending people at Camp Paradise and defending local panhandler John Maurer downtown because he had a fuck the police sign in his hat and he was twice cited for it in spite of his obvious right to do that under the First Amendment.
It wasn't obvious to the Santa Cruz Police Department, or perhaps it was in the... Target him notwithstanding that obvious.
Should have been obvious. And then, of course, City Attorney John, I'm here for life, Barisoni, went in and successfully, along with Junk Justice Joseph, the commissioner in which you both of you appeared. I don't really call this name-calling. I regard this as truth in advertising, frankly. But you eventually had to, you couldn't get a ruling on the constitutionality of this law. So more people, although I think more people have been hassled under this alleged law, by the way, not by having it charged against them, but by being told they would be charged.
Well, the law that stands, by the way, but not for long, according to Judge Fogel, who has instructed the city council to change it, or he will.
We're talking about a section of the infamous downtown ordinance on panhandling, which bans panhandling with abusive or profane language. Is that what
correct.
It is? You know, I mean, and I know that you we've talked about this. You said abusive language you can live with, but profane is a little bit too Catholic or, I don't know, medieval sounding. Or
well, it's vague,
right.
Hurtful, and inappropriate because it's okay to use words that aren't popular. Abusing people with words, to me, is more questionable. Arguably protected, but profane language is 100% protected under the United States Constitution as long as it's not intended or likely to cause harm to someone.
Or fighting words that are like to provoke an imminent fight of some sort, I guess. So you successfully, won a case with John Maurer, who I saw today downtown.
Well, we haven't by the way won it yet.
Well, you won the criminal case. The criminal case was dropped, and now you said, you wanted a ruling on the constitutionality of it. They wouldn't give it to you, so you took the case civilly to court, and you are now essentially requiring the city to change the law, and you've gotten a successful hearing from, as you say, Judge Fogel, the federal judge in San Jose, right?
And I shouldn't say myself, though, because... Attorney Cade Wells, who I admire greatly, has really taken the lead in the federal case because she's more skilled at federal civil rights advocacy than I am. I was at least smart enough to bring in someone better equipped than me because I did not want my inexperience to get in the way of a just result. A just result is when a city has an unconstitutional law on the books, fix it. I'm shocked that the city has been reluctant to do so. Perhaps I know that you were not shocked,
no.
Robert, because you've been around these things perhaps longer than me, but it seems to me when someone points out that you have a law that's unconstitutional and we can let a judge rule on whether it is or not, everyone would agree in Santa Cruz, the bastion of progressive thought, supposedly, that if we have an unconstitutional law, let's let a judge decide, and if it is, let's fix it. But this was somehow anathema to Mr. Barisoni and his office, and I think that's so contrary to the public interest that it makes me, along with Christopher Crone, the former mayor, and others, to question the relationship between the city of Santa Cruz and the city attorney's office.
Well, actually, I'm going to be questioning the city attorney directly, probably on the 15th of November, as we depose him in the case where...
Can I come? That sounds fun.
Talk to Attorney Kate Wells. Perhaps
okay.
You can be co-counsel. I don't know. It's pretty
I applaud you and all the people who stand up for their rights before the government, and you, Robert, do it sometimes, in the throes of criticism. And I think it's every citizen's not obligation... But it's close to your obligation to stand up to your government when you know your government is acting wrongfully. Because if you don't, then aren't you complicit in the hurtful, wrongful action?
And that's something you have done. We're talking with Paul Sanford, professor of constitutional law at the Monterey College of Law. According to the Good Times...
I'm not at the law school faculty anymore, but I have taught constitutional law in the past. Just as a...
Indeed, and you've actually invited me to one of your classes where I tried to urge the students to rape and rebellion to no avail.
Well, the results aren't... The votes haven't been tallied on that one.
Yes, so I'm kidding about the rape thing. You also, of course, have been helpful in assisting Michael Newdow with his Pledge of Allegiance. Let's get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance for the, you know, and get him back in the church, if you don't mind.
And unlike me, I want to say that Michael Newdow is an American hero, a strong-minded person standing up for what he believes is right in the midst of death threats and horrible castigation by people who present themselves as Christians. He's an amazing person. It might sound like a silly thing to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, but this guy takes so much heat and criticism, and all he's doing is through the proper channels asserting his opinion. And I can't imagine why Michael Newdow is such a threat, why John Maurer is such a threat, why Larry Templeton and Camp Paradise are such a threat, and even why little Paul Sanford is such a threat. It seems to me that the answer to speech you disagree with is more conversation, not repression. But like Jefferson said, we may need a little revolution every generation or two. And like Benjamin Franklin said, your form of government is a republic if you choose to keep it. All have to be engaged or we're going to get rolled over.
We have been rolled over to the tune of $2 billion a week, or is it a month, in Iraq. I'm not sure. And it's incredible. We can't get the Democrats to do diddly squat. I know. They'll hold a secret session and tell us that, we should investigate the causes of the Iraqi war. But we can't get anybody to get us out of there unless we ourselves get together to do something around that.
Yeah, and you're right. And there's a failure of leadership in the Democratic Party. And it's fear-based because politics and government is no longer a place for citizen politicians and citizen representatives to get involved. It's about careerism, and therefore there's a lack of courage in our political system, and I don't know what to do about it other than all of those who don't speak freely and candidly don't deserve the right to represent us, but the culture is such that it's very hard to get rid of an elected official because they have so many amazing advantages in our current system. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, getting back to Michael Newdow, who took his case all the way to the Supreme Court, and then it got thrown out as a sort of jurisdictional matter in terms right. of his, has he really got a right to sue because of
the... It got thrown out because it was an election year and the court didn't want to encourage the people supporting Newdow to rise up after they ruled against him, in my judgment.
Right, the right-wingers. I mean, actually... You said before, you know, what's the problem with under God or, you know, and the Constitution being, you know, it's a question of a difference of opinion. I think this, of course, was a McCarthy-era constitutional red herring, an unconstitutional red herring that was thrown into the Pledge of Allegiance as a kind of a sop in 1954, I believe,
right.
Under God was added.
It's right on the floor of the Congress. It was stated that this
right.
is a message to send to those godless communists.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I think it cheapens religion to have religion thrown into these government proclamations. It's a cynical use of religion. It's also a way of, I guess it's a way of criminalizing people who think differently, who are atheists or agnostics or Buddhists or, I guess not, if you're Islamic, you know, you might go for this. But even if you're Islamic, I mean, the idea of the government giving, you know, prescribing a prayer or prescribing an oath involving God is something that I don't support it. And partially, you know, I can go back to this rhetoric, oh, the founding fathers and all that crap. Although I'm not, you know, founding fathers were slave owners and white supremacists
right.
and, you know, and macho characters who had no respect for the rights of women. So it's kind of bizarre for us to go back to the founding fathers.
Well, can I add a caveat to that?
Sure.
I think in many ways that's correct. And we won't say that they are victims of the times in which they live, but, you know, there'll be a time a couple hundred years from now when people, to the extent that people still inhabit the earth, look back on us and determine that all of the things that we're doing and saying are wrong for reasons that we may not understand. I don't know whether it's going to be global warming or whether it's going to be the way that we treat animals or the way we deal with population or what it is. So I think you're correct that a lot of these people were very hypocritical, the founders of the country. But on the other hand, there were a few brilliant minds that even if there was hypocrisy, that elicited some amazing principles. And I can probably only think of two, but I think Jefferson and Madison, flawed as they were, Jefferson much more flawed personally than Madison, were people who had brilliant ideas. Jefferson with regard to keeping the government out of religion, keeping the government out of our thoughts, and against the whole imperial majesty of government, and Madison for the genius of the separation of powers as a check against democracy. I think that even though there was hypocrisy in hindsight, there were a couple, at least two or three wise people who did contribute to human history, because the Bill of Rights and the separation of powers are the foundations of, I think, the best government structures that we know how to make. So I don't think it's fair to just throw out all of their work because these people lived in repressive times. And I think that there were some good ideas and some well intentions, perhaps hidden inside the hypocrisy. So let me just defend my main men, Madison and Jefferson.
Yeah, we could talk about them too. But I think the issue, of course, here is. There are a lot of issues, that we've been covering. And we're talking with Paul Sanford, who's a one-time professor of constitutional law at Monterey, what's it called?
Cal State Monterey Bay is where I taught common law, but I've been on the faculty at Monterey College of Law for the last several years as well.
I gotcha. You also have been working to establish a thing called Election Radio Network, according to your rather impressively, the long article about you in the Good Times by Bruce Wiley, is that his name?
Bruce Willie, yeah.
Willie.
I thought he did a pretty good job, by the way.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Zwirling, Michael Zwirling, I've been on Zwirling's show on KSCO, and I've had my differences with him. I've particularly denounced him for not supporting activist and soon-to-be-dead activist Richard Quigley, who's on the front pages of Today's Sentinel.
We're all sorry about Richard's situation.
He'll be talking with Richard, hopefully, in a show or two to come. He's a guy who's not only supported the right to wear a helmet of your choice when you drive around on a motorcycle and not to be arrested or harassed for it, but also the right, just rights generally against
the
police.
He's a guy with a lot of guts who stands up to the government, and we all should, to the extent that we disagree with the government.
Yeah, he had a show on Zwirling's KSCO 1080, where he talked every noontime on Thursday about different things, and some of them were about bad cops in what was then Sheriff Mark Tracy's police department or sheriff's department. And Tracy apparently became so exercised at some of the things he said, which were about really the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center and its treatment of Jerry Henry, who's a local minister to young people who still is not allowed in two coffee shops, and he's still being massively harassed in terms of the kinds of judicial measures taken against him. That, you know, the sheriff sent a Kim Allen down to KSCO and told them, we don't want Quigley on the air, or we're not going to give you the appropriate treatment in terms of sheriff's
this
department.
This is a matter that's been rectified in part by a court that determined under the law that the sheriff's actions were coercive and wrongful, and didn't Mr. Quigley get paid a lot of money by
the
county?
He got paid $47,000, according to the
Who
paper.
Who paid that?
Today.
Did the taxpayers of the county pay?
No, it's a good question. I know.
Or have they paid?
Well, Tracy has retired on $150,000 a year, stipend. People are talking about all those bus drivers being so RICO, but nobody seems to give a damn about the police officials. I know that he got a settlement.
I want to just interject, Robert. I think we've only been on the show about 12 minutes, and I think that we've talked about probably 14 issues.
Well, that's just one of my usual traits. I kind of jump around. I don't know.
And I want to disarm you by saying that I'm comfortable with that.
Well, that's good. And because you do cover a lot of issues, I have to kind of keep up with you.
That makes my wife a bit nervous, by the way.
Oh, well,
the way you're keeping up with me.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. But, in today's Sentinel, Quigley, the case settled for $47,501, but I don't know that any actual changes in Sheriff's Department policy came out of it, and that was too bad. But I think Quigley was concerned about his health. He knew he was going to die of lymphoma soon. At least that's his current prediction. He is, by the way, for those who are interested and who are fans of his, noted that he's going to have a public wake before he dies, noon to 5 on November 12th. And I guess today is the 3rd, so that's, 9 days hence. It's going to be at Quigley's T-shirt shop, 1204A Freedom Boulevard, Watsonville. And anybody is interested, anybody and everybody wants to share memories, come in Levi's and T-shirts or however informally you want. And
I'll be wearing a suit.
Hey, well, you better. You know, you don't look, I wouldn't recognize you if you're wearing anything but a suit there, Paul. You're a hard man to get a hold of in the courtroom, I must say. You're always busy, but I'm glad I could catch you here on the air. Let's talk a little bit more
about... Let me say, I think it's important what you do, and I think it's important that the way, that your show and your station is challenging the federal monopolization of the airwaves. And there's a common thread between what you guys are doing and what I've done, in my brief journalistic stint, which is standing up to the corporatization and the government control of the message. Because if the democracy in a democratic republic depends in great part on an informed electorate, and to the extent that the airwaves and the print are dominated with corporate and government-driven messages, it makes the whole theater and the whole process absurd. Because in the absence of a reasonable flow of information, then you might as well be in Stalin's Russia.
Paul, you're also you do a radio show every week down in Monterey, is that right?
Yeah, I'm doing a weekly show on KRXA 540. I'm not sure exactly how long I'll be doing what. I enjoy getting into radio and so forth.
Can we hear it here in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, it's at KRXA540.com. You can get it on the internet. But yeah, 540 a.m. is a progressive.
When is
station.
That show?
My show's noon on Saturdays, but I'm not plugging that. But I think anyone who's interested in a different approach to radio that actually is thoughtful and not just hate speech from the left, you can get it throughout the county, 5:40 a.m. Go all the way to the left is 5:30 and move once to the right from the far left. And they're doing a pretty good job. It's a hard thing launching a radio station, but...
It's another 5:40 from San Francisco. Isn't there kind of a right-wing radio station?
I don't know that, but I know that the signal covers all of Santa Cruz and all of Monterey County, and these people are trying to do something good, which is bring sort of a more progressive radio, but it's not just left-wing hate. It's actually more thoughtful than most of... What I hear on the
air. Yeah, I prefer to call it Democratic Party hate because I don't like these guys are left wing. I mean, that's what really annoys me. They don't, they aren't really arguing critically against the Democrats from the left. They're just a bunch of Democrats. They want to take power, and it's simply a partisan. If you're talking about Air America, but let's get back to what this article also discusses in this week's Good Times. We're talking with Paul Sanford here. I keep repeating that for those who've tuned in. And by the way, for those who want to ask Paul a question, we have a second line. I haven't mentioned this, but I'm now going to tell you the number to the second line. It actually is the same number.
Secret number, the one that you said if you told me the number, you'd have to kill me. Now you're going to put it out there?
Well, actually, that's the one that I called you on, and I'm certainly not going to give anybody that number other than those who secretly give me the appropriate amounts. Well, the number to call in on is 427-3772. That's, of course, the standard number. Paul will continue to be on the air here as long as he can tolerate this.
Well, and I'm enjoying it. I want to throw out a thought, if I may. And, Robert, you can filibuster with the best of them. I'd be happy to stay with you for probably another 15 minutes, but I'm going to have to change phones and give you 2 or 3 minutes because I have to get in the car and go see my mom. But I do talk on the phone while I'm driving. And if you call me on my cell phone in a couple minutes, we can keep chatting, and I would, because I'm enjoying the conversation, but I have to deliver a package to my mother.
Why don't we do that? You go ahead, and I'll get back to you in a few minutes, and we'll pick it up.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you and give all of your listeners my cell number, which is 588-0528, because I like talking to people who are interested in issues. And the fun part is I'm not selling anything. I just enjoy the banter, and I think anybody who's interested in challenging the government, and I'm not a radical, I mean, in the sense that I'm mainstream. I'm a lawyer, and I... and I make a living, and you know, I didn't vote for Kucinich or Jesse Jackson, but, you know, so in Santa Cruz, I'm like Rotkin, I suppose. I'm a centrist or a right winger.
We have a real quick question for you here coming in. Do you want to take it before you go?
Maybe you could chat with them for a moment, and I'll pick it up on the phone in a minute. You can call me. Why don't you chat with the person and call me on my line in 1 minute, and I'll be in the car.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Unfortunately, Paul isn't here, but we're going to try to get him back in just a minute. Hi there. Hello? Sorry, say that again. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Madison.
Hey, Madison, what's happening?
Oh, well, you know, we had a rough Monday, didn't we?
A rough Monday? Oh, you mean the Halloween scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I guess there was a lot of stabbings downtown.
One guy got stabbed 18 times.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, downtowners, we've all been going on for months, years, literally, about how bad it is here. No one hears us. The kids are bringing guns. They're shooting at each other. I personally went out and broke up, and I went to the city council and told them. I've broken up 7. Now it's 9 fights.
Uh-huh.
And they think it's like 2 little kids. No, I'm out there. I ran out in the middle of 20 fights, 20 kids throwing rocks and bottles. And the cops get here, and then they say, Madison, no one's here. Like, I make it up. I'm sorry, but I don't have time to make it up.
So when
I just want to live in a peaceful beach town. And
Madison, when was the last time you actually were able to, you broke up a fight, tried to report it to the police, and got an unsatisfactory response?
Halloween.
And
I
this
called
was
3 different times for 3 different incidents down here. We usually get rocks, bottles, and bricks.
Uh-huh.
And on Halloween, we were getting 12 packs thrown at houses.
And this was on your place up on Maple, or?
Monday night around Maple, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's
I saw those gang members go by. Gang members, and, you know, meth has a certain look to it. You can see it if you're sensitive. And I thought, you know, I've already called 3 times. They never come half the time when I call anyways. They think I'm crazy. And I thought, you know what, if it goes off, it's going to go off, and then it'll be. You know, it'll probably go off. And I just said, you know, they haven't sent anybody down here for the 12-pack, so why are they going to listen to me on this one? And
you
look what happened.
You know, actually,
so I got up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Let me finish.
No, go ahead.
I went to Kinko's, and there's such a lovely crowd over there, and they get it, because they're in the middle of it down here, too. We make this sign, because a friend of ours is a fireman, and he helps at-risk kids at times like I have. And one of them did meth a few years ago. 25 years old, she quit, she fell down on her floor, and no one found her for 2 days. She has an aneurysm the size of a grapefruit in her brain. There's a whole ward of these kids up in USF, and the drug companies, the people, they don't want anyone to know, you know what I mean? They say, oh, you brought your teeth, make your hair fall, make you look ugly. No, it kills you. If you get the aneurysm in your stomach, you're dead. If you get it in your brain, you might wake up.
So this little
girl woke up, she can move her hand too.
Madison, I'm losing track here. So what does that have to do with?
I'm rounding it back, yeah.
Yeah.
So these 2 meth incidences that, you know, are hundreds of them that we've had down here.
We're talking about meth.
I get up, we make a sign, meth free zone. I can't go to name a huge big one. We took it to the mayor, we left it, and I stood there in the morning, and there was the police chief, the fire chief, that they were all going to the meeting, and I stood there, and I wore tie-dye especially because I'm from the punk generation, but I stood there and looked at the age group of hippies, and I said to them, hippies don't do meth. And this is exactly what happened in the hate when I was little. The hate was like Santa Cruz, and they were kind of vocal about what was going on with the war, and they had a lot of intellectuals, a lot of artists, and then the government drifted the meth in to screw it up, and then the fights and the knifings and all this.
So you think that maybe there's a connection with a government meth thing here?
I wouldn't put it past them, yeah.
You know, I was talking about, you know, you heard about this Office of Compassionate Youth stuff. I don't know if you've been listening to my show, but I don't like, you know, public relations gestures by the city council when they don't do anything real to expand medical marijuana, but they just pretend they're doing something. I would like to see the city council deal with hard drugs in new, innovative ways. I would like
I sent it to the mayor's an email that said, what are you worried about bird flu for? The epidemic is the flu, the meth flu here. That's what you have to worry about. That's what's costing. In our generation, the punkers, we were told by the hippies, from the hate. Do not touch this stuff. It's rat killer.
Yeah, but don't you remember when Nixon did his paraquat thing on marijuana, and as a consequence, there became, I mean, some of us felt that the heroin epidemic ensued. Because
getting back to just little Santa Cruz and just my little guys I see walking down the street getting pregnant or whatever, throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah.
You know, and there's one kid with a book, and I stopped her and said, "You're the first kid in 3 years I've seen with books. Thank God only for you." And, you know, you're probably going to be extremely successful. But on my arbor, anybody wants one, I'm 211 Maple, come down. There's the yellow sign. It says meth-free zone. And it's like to send a message to your own kids. Don't touch it. We don't want it here.
Okay,
in fact,
well,
we want you to be a little uncomfortable when you walk by if you're on it.
Right. Well, but let me say this.
We
need
the mayor to say, we want this town to be a meth-free zone. We're going to tell America that we're not only nuke-free, we're meth-free, too, and be proud of it.
Well, it seems to me, though, that this sounds a little bit like Nancy Reagan, just say no to drugs. You know,
I had lunch with her during that,
You know, I kind of feel like, what you need to have is some real action on drugs that has to do with recognizing it's a medical thing and recognizing the reason you got people, you know, dipping into meth and heroin is because access to marijuana and psychedelics and other things is criminalized.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. I called the police department. I said to them, okay, you got moles down here. You got people selling this stuff. Why aren't, how dare you guys sell this stuff to your own town? They all know. They had me on the speakerphone. I said, please, you can sell them psychedelics. You can sell the pot, and you're still going to bust drug dealers. You guys aren't going away, and they're not going away. But in the middle, this is your own city. And they said, Madison, well, where do you get the acid? I said, I don't know. I'm a bunker. I went to the Janis Joplin movie to ask hippies in the audience there if they knew where the acid went.
Because
at least it's not addictive.
Madison, I think where you could get this stuff is if we had a real office where we would do some, the city set up a real commission to research how to deal with psychedelics and even hard drugs in terms of solutions that are used in European countries that are not used here, we might actually begin a breakthrough that might encourage other cities. Though we can't change state and federal law, we could still begin this kind of research. Instead, you have Rotkin pushing for this meaningless, only if the federal courts okay it, Office of Compassionate Use for medical marijuana, when everybody knows that medical marijuana is a useful tool for dealing with various ailments, and that marijuana is largely, you know, a benefit herb compared to things like alcohol, tobacco, heroin, methadrine, and frankly, heroin and methadrine pale when you look at the casualties of alcohol and tobacco. So you're pointing out that if folks are interested in your meth-free zone stuff, it's 211 Maple. They should come and check you out.
Well, they can have the papers hanging in the window. A lot of people on
Right. Pacific
Avenue were going, oh, thank God, we've been ripped off so much this month. And Zachary said we want a bigger sign, and the youth center put it up, and the tech heads. Cruzio, they said, oh, good. You know, I said, look, it's copyright free, do whatever. Because, I mean, there are windows, spiritual windows that you can transgress with certain herbs and plants, and you know I'm into plants and things. I don't do any drugs.
My drug is the art. No,
I don't need it. I've learned to transgress windows without anything.
Yeah, no chocolate for you, Madison.
Oh,
no. Listen, I'm going to roll on you. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, but what I'd like everyone to do is call the mayor, and if you feel that strongly about meth or your kids are into it and you don't want them to have the aneurysms, it would be nice. It seems to be a breath of fresh air from the response I got from everybody. Is call the mayor, tell him we want you to declare this a meth-free zone. And, you know, meth-free and art-free, meaning we want more art. Because that's the window the kids need.
Right. I don't agree with you on this idea of meth-free in the sense that I don't think this is like Phil Baer tries to drum up, you know,
more... Yeah, but if you were in USF and you saw those kids at the end...
No, I understand. I mean, and obviously, I mean, if someone were dealing meth outside my house and stealing my shit, I wouldn't be terribly excited about it either.
No, it's but not.
But I'm saying that I don't think the answer is to crank up, no pun intended, public prejudice or feeling against people using meth or abusing meth and heroin. Although, frankly, I agree with you. Any kind of abuse that results in theft and the kind of destruction that we're talking about is a serious problem. But it's not a problem that you deal with by saying, we're going to take a militant stand against this. Because I don't think that's going to work. I think you need to realize what's really happening in terms of the fact that...
I don't think a zone is militant. I think that what I feel is, from what I can see, is my generation was told by hippies, don't touch it. We didn't. So it went away. There was no reason to tell the next generation don't use it because it wasn't here.
Well, heroin is a continuing epidemic, though, isn't it?
It became I'm not talking about heroin. I'm just talking about...
Yeah, but it's pretty deadly, too, right?
Yeah, I know. But it's more expensive. But they became stylish. So I'll see a kid that's doing it, and I'll say, you know, it's not a fashion statement, man. Meth is not a fashion statement. Somehow culture grabbed it, and they sort of made it like it was the next risky thing, and that's the way the kids are. They're risk takers. They're going to do
it. Well, as you know, when everything is criminalized, stuff becomes glamorized. It's all bullshit. I mean,
I know.
Thanks for calling in. I'm going to roll on.
I know, but the trend has to go the other way. It's like, don't do meth, do art.
I'll give the number of the mayor, and we'll talk about it some more. But
okay, have a good day. Thank you.
You too, Madison. Thanks. Member of the mayor, for those who want to talk about, you know, getting real here, whether you want to tell them to do a meth-free zone or, as I would suggest, set up a real commission to examine different drugs and what Santa Cruz can do to lead the way to look at a really enlightened solution to this instead of, you know, following along with the same old fear stuff or the same old we'll wait for the feds or the same old we can't do anything because we might be doing something illegal bullshit or let's support our police department no matter what they do. 420-5023 is the phone number of Mayor Mike Rotkin, and you can actually call that number now and tell him what you think. Tell him to get off his posterior and take some action around. I would like to see him take some action to decriminalize people who are sleeping and have no place to sleep and have to face assaults from whether it's people who are whacked out on meth or police officers decide to move them along or whatever. You know, we have a situation where our own poor people in this community, 1,500 to 2,000 of them, have only 40 of them a place to sleep tonight. And if the armory opens, all the 160 of them will have a place to sleep tonight. And so there. 427-3772 is the number to call. I'm going to get back to Paul Sanford if I can. Find him on the phone line. Hang on a second. I'll try and reach him and see what we can do here. And let's see if we can find him. Let's see here. Yeah, we got the dial tone. I'm about to try to get through to that man. We're dialing him now. And let's see if we can get through to the man on his cell phone as he heads for his mom's house. Paul Sanford is an attorney who is front page news in the Good Times. If you pick up this Good Times current issue that came out today.
Hi, this is Paul Sanford. Please leave me a message and please leave your air.
Looks like he's not available on his cell phone. So I'm going to turn it to some other stuff. Here's some actual homeless people talking. Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, actually meets on Wednesdays, 8:30 to 10:30, sort of, so to speak, more or less, in the Breezeway atrium area between the courthouse and the county building, right outside the coffee cart, and right before you hit the metal detectors, you know, where all those sheriffs stand around making sure you don't bring your knives, guns, can openers, toothpicks, and so forth into the courthouse to assault our good judges. After all, we know they are the fountain of justice, and they're putting the right people in jail for these kinds of vicious marijuana crimes and other such things, filling up the county jail under our liberal prosecutor, Bob Lee, and the fine liberal board of supervisors, not to mention our liberal mayor, Mike Rotkin. So here's a little something from the Huff meeting, and you can call in if you want, 427-3772.
Vishnu, it is October, what is it? No, we're in November 2nd, 2005, about 10:15, at the Huff meeting here at the county building. Vishnu, you've been hanging out at the Huff meeting for about a half an hour. Are we getting anywhere here? Where should we go next?
To be honest with you, I don't feel Huff is doing anything for the homeless community or for me. That is what I feel personally. This is my personal view.
Certainly. What should Huff do that might actually make a difference? What kind of things do you think homeless people need that only a few individuals who only, you know, put in, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours a week, who are trying to change the civil rights situation where it's illegal to sleep outside? That's one of the problems. What can we do that we should be doing that we might be able to do? What do you suggest?
I think Huff should generate a discipline for homeless people, and it will be more easily for everybody to coexist in harmony.
Can you give us some more details about that?
Well, when I say I'm disciplined, you know, it's not to care about themselves, use the bathroom in a proper manner, don't litter the place. Because when they do that, they make it bad for the other man who comes after them. Like, I can draw reference on that. Vishnu likes to call names.
Right.
Like my third sister, buddy, Hot Rod.
According to another Huff member, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod make a mess all over the place he go.
Right.
And when I tried to help him several times, and I've no avail, it broke out. I cut him off. I work by myself alone.
Now,
because when he make a mess of the place, right, the city come in, and when I come in, they come on my ass, and Hot Rod cause the problem.
And you also talked earlier about problems of theft. You lost a bicycle, you lost a sleeping bag recently, last Friday I believe it was, and you don't know who at Harvey West, and you don't know who took it, but this isn't the first time this has happened?
No, this has been going on for over the past 10 months, you know. I've lost 22 bags in 10 months.
Well, 22 bags?
Yeah.
And 22 right. Separate occasions? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I lost 4 bikes in 3 weeks recently.
4 bikes recently.
Yeah, and I reported all to the police. You know, I called the cops.
And none has ever been returned, or?
No, none has ever been returned.
And you like do serial number things and
yeah.
License plates.
I register my bike. You know, the cop advised to register the bike, but that don't work. You know, I think it's.
Now, if you camp alone, this happens from your campsite, wherever you happen to be sleeping the night.
Yeah, I camp alone. Vishnu stand alone.
Okay.
You know.
Right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we've covered. This is, you know, this is a report for folks to be aware of. Any advice for folks out there who are in your situation in terms of how to keep their property safe?
Well, I have no advice to that because I myself can't keep my property safe.
I hear
you. You know?
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
I've been in Santa Cruz for about 20 years.
And
I'm only homeless about 3 years.
Okay.
Because I lost my driver's license. I am trying to get out of the situation, you know, but they're trying to put me in the situation more deep, you know. I can't deal with that.
So how did losing your driver's license lead to homelessness for you?
Well, I got a DUI. Getting a DUI caused me to lose my license. Losing my license caused me to lose my job.
Which was your job?
I was a plumber.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I'm a craftsman. I can do several trades. You know, I'm a skilled craftsman. I can do several trades.
Okay.
And if somebody give me the opportunity to work for them, I'd be a good slave to them.
If anybody has a job for Vishnu, give us a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll pass it on to him. Any other reports from the street that you think people out there should know about?
I can't speak for them. I can only talk for me.
Of course.
You know, I don't know what they're about.
Appreciate your sharing with us, Vishnu.
Okay, look, my bag was right out there.
You got it. All right. At least on this one occasion, you still got your bag.
Yeah.
So, Hot Rod, what's the update with you? Or what's been happening with you? Anything new as far as court dates? And you've got a dozen of them, man. Come a little closer. Come over here and talk, because otherwise we can't hear you. All right. So, Hot Rod, what's the story about your latest appearance in court?
I have a 11th. Of November, I believe, on a jury trial that they're going to put all my the public defender lady, she said that I was accused of carrying old food. Yeah, and of course everybody carries food. I mean, when you're I'm a missionary, okay, just like we just had
to say. In what sense were you accused of carrying old food? Would an officer stop you and grab your peanut butter, or what happened?
Well, sometimes, you know, I never got a violation for old food. It's called they call me pack rat, and that's kind of...
Because you have numerous bicycles full of your possessions, which are often found with you. Not to be critical, but simply to be descriptive.
Here's what happens to my life. I am mobile. I can't afford a domestic realm. I'm 53 years old, okay? I'm a carpenter, a mechanic. I did 8 years in a steel mill through race riots in Chicago. That gives you a little bit of South Chicago, Cook County. And there wasn't homeless there. If you were, you had a a problem with some kind of criminal you were hiding. And that's basically the way it is kind of here, except for here, you've got overinflated in, rent with the landlord. Look, I've been here since 89, and I used to have a vehicle. I used to have a driver's license. And I'm going to try to cover it all by saying this is the new world disorder.
Take a sip of your coffee there, Adrad. I don't want to see it get cold while you're waiting for this interview.
Oh.
While we're waiting, well, you're just kind of going on here, but
I'm not going.
No, no. What I mean to say is, I think you're going.
Sober.
You're going on talking about very appropriate subjects, but I don't want you to avoid the opportunity to have a sip of your. Anyway, go ahead.
That's okay. The bottom line is, we're going through a transition, and it's called the rich ruling elite police. They are the soldiers of the ordinances that override the constitutional freedoms. That's the way I see it. And what they do is they eliminate to where you can't be anywhere without their money. Show them their money. Get it? That's it. I mean, I've been told to go up to Montana. It's freezing cold up there. I'm diabetic. I got...
Who told you to go to Montana?
Some numerous good people, and I would if I could, but I just, it's a...
Did they offer you a bus ticket out of town, Hot Rod?
You know, Robert, you're making light of this, and
I'm
really not that lighthearted about it, because I suffer. I might look good and clean. I just got out of the hospital. Or you see my hand? You ain't going to catch this, but it's internal staph infection, okay?
You're showing me your right hand.
Your
thumb
is
swollen.
It's in my bones. It's in my blood.
Some scabs on your left hand.
From being a diabetic that has gotten a high blood sugar. I'm dying. You know, we're all dying, yeah. But to say the least, I'm going quickly because my blood sugar, I can't get... Well, right now, this afternoon, I'm headed... After I speak with you and get my shit, my legal stuff straightened out here, I'm going to the police department to pick up my bicycle, an old junk. That my medicine, my blood sugar machine, which I hadn't used, the fourth one that the Veterans Administration give me because I deserve it, and that they've stolen. And I've hardly had
it. This last police theft, as you would describe it, take place?
This hasn't been a theft. But there has been two incidences where I had Sealy... I got to make a complaint against him that he...
Sergeant Eric Seeley?
I don't know. Is he a sergeant?
Yes.
Okay, well, whatever. He to me, he's a fascist kind of Nazi mentality that likes to fuck with me and steal my stuff, and he's thrown it away. And he's got a hideous mentality towards me. I don't know about everybody else, but... He makes life pretty miserable, along with that game, the park ranger Wallace. I don't know his first name, but...
We heard, actually, Mr. Wallace speak at the SEIU debate on the sleeping ban, where he was quite a supporter of the ban, and actually an impromptu supporter. he rose to defend the ban against human rights organization activists and Huff activists who were opposing it. Go ahead.
So there's no location where you can run to. The police tell you to go someplace where they can't find you. Now, I've been sober most all my life, but I smoke a little herb. And herb, marijuana helps me. I want to get medical marijuana. And it does me good because it puts a light in my mind to see this look. When I said I worked 8 years in a steel mill, I'm going through a transition. It's called an evolution. We're all evolving. And this is their plan of being Goals 2000. I listen to the radio, the talk shows, all of this coming soon, the power outages. It's all about their control. It's more than money. Of the universe. Armageddon's going down.
Yeah, we're going to leave this apparent paranoid conspiracy theory, which may well be true, folks.
It ain't paranoid.
And again, we're talking again about the more mundane aspects of things, namely, you're going to court on the 11th for a number of charges, and you say you recently were ticketed for sleeping?
Camping, they call it, but it's not camping. In my life, it's surviving.
Now, where did this happen, and who gave you the tickets, and what happened?
I forgot the cop's badge number, but, you know...
How did he treat you?
The word is arrogance, and words come hard to me sometimes, but the Holy Spirit really has been a blessing in my life to where I've stayed on the sidelines of being.
And we actually got Paul Sanford back on the line. That was Hot Rod at the Huff meeting. Hey there, Paul. How you doing?
I'm fine, Robert.
Did you make it to your mom's?
Yes, I'm with my mom, and she's releasing me so I can be program.
Is she proud of you for your vicious attacks on our Führer?
I don't know whether she's proud of me or not, but I'm proud of her.
Well, there you are. Now,
she says she is, for the record.
You know, there's some discussion in this. We're talking with Paul Sanford, local attorney, and who has defended a number of homeless people and has also been in the news recently and is on the front page of the Good Times. I never get on the front page, Paul. Election Radio Network is something you've been trying to put together. I didn't even know about that. Tell me about it.
Well, you go to electionnetwork.com and you can learn a little bit. It's just, I hope this isn't my midlife crisis. I've always been interested in radio, and I think that the news media is failing. I think AM radio is failing America and failing all of us because it's all about hate and vitriol, and none of it's about information. And so I'm interested in, with my meager resources, trying to elevate the level of debate on the airwaves by producing some decent programming. What that means to me is no one cares what I think. I think we need to listen to newsmakers, and I think we need to use radio as a forum for debate. And I think it's sorely lacking. You turn on TV, you listen to radio, and you listen to people explaining the news to us. And I think that's frankly pathetic. I wish there were reporting. And there's almost no reporting, and there's almost no debate on the radio, and I'm discouraged by that.
If you want to debate with Paul Sanford, you can call in at 427-3772. We can actually fulfill this man's dream on Free Radio Santa Cruz. 427-3772, lines are open. You might want to ask Paul a question about how it's going. You have a lawsuit against KSCO owner Michael Zwirling. Oh, what, don't you like KSCO? What's your problem?
Well, we don't have enough time to deal with all of my problems. But the lawsuit is against Michael Zwirling personally and against his network. And I don't want to comment with too much specificity about the suit because I'm a cagey lawyer and perhaps because my lawyer told me not to. But I can tell you that I've made a contract with Michael Zwirling and KOMY, and they breached it. And not only did they breached it with impunity.
Hold
it. In a hurtful way.
I'm going to interrupt you with impunity because we have a caller who demands to be heard. Hang on. Hi there, caller. You're on the line with Paul Sanford. Are you there?
Hi, it's Madison again. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Madison. Hi. You got a question for Paul?
Well, it's about the radio. I think it's a good thing that he's creating more places, you know, and it's great to have Santa Cruz Freaks, too, because you rarely get the place where you feel like you can just say what you're thinking without being ostracized. You know, like, I remember as a little kid when Walter Cronkite put his elbows down after we'd been fighting for 4 years, because I have an older brother was at Cal when it really blew, and not many people were on the side of the, you know, anti-war movement at that point. But then I remember doing cartwheels in our playroom when Walter Cronkite got on his elbows, took off his glasses, looked right at the screen, and said, "Mr. President, this war is wrong, and our boys are dying." To me, that is, I want to see more from my news reporters, things like that. You know, Kitty Cork, whoever she is, and all those people that are just paid mooka books to toe the line. They're just, how can you even turn it on? But the darkest day before the dawn, it's like real estate, like the interior design industry got wiped by the web. The web people got wiped by the web. The real estate is going to get soon to be wiped out by the web businesses, and so is media. And it's going to, tower's going to come down, and it's, instead of vertical, it's going to be flat. So everybody's going to have a chance who wants to say
Paul, what's
anything, which is great. And my mom left Santa Cruz in a heart attack about 7 months, a while ago, a year and a half ago. She's, "Oh, my God, if you listen to your radio stations, they're so conservative. Oh, isn't there anything else?" And I was like, "Mom, I haven't had time."
So, Paul, what about this? Is Election Radio Network going to actually? It's kind of been stopped by Zwirling. Broke his contract with you. That's at least what this Good Times story.
The caller, I didn't get her name.
Madison.
First of all, what a beautiful name for a woman, and also what a great honor to James Madison, whether intended or not. But the Election Radio Network, it's not stopped. I'm still working and doing my best, but my network isn't the answer. No network and no voices. More important than any programming I could put on is the idea of people insisting on their right to put on programming and all of us participating to the extent that we can. So when you take a broader view, it's not about Warren, it's not about Bush. It's about having diverse opinions and not just rubber stamps who are really interested in selling, like Katie Couric. And she's probably a nice woman and all, but Katie Couric, that's all about selling soap.
Thanks,
or selling death. None of it, are you there?
I'm here, go ahead.
None of it is about useful sharing of information and opinions, and especially none of it's about taking this. How can you have a debate? You have a discussion if everyone is afraid to say anything that might upset a sponsor. The system is broken, and no, the Election Radio Network, if anything, I hope I'm a symptom of a broken system, but that's just one more little network put together by some lawyer who had enough money to buy the time and invest in it. And even my little participation is all based ultimately on cash. And isn't that pathetic in what purports to be a democratic republic?
Phone lines open, 427-3772. We're on the line with Paul Sanford. We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment of the show. Actually, this is it for my show. Paul, pretty much, is your story being accurately told by the Good Times, for those who want to know?
I think Bruce did a really fine job. I think he's accurately presenting the facts. He's accurately presenting a misrepresentation of facts, courtesy of Mr. Zwirling. But that's a reporter's job, is to, I suppose, to share what people say, and it's not his fault. Just like when Sarah Phelan in the Metro produced things that Mr. Zwirling said that were blatantly false, you live with that. But I think it's a comprehensive story, and I think what Bruce Willey and the Good Times did was report in good faith. And that's pretty much all any of us can ask for. And they are independent, and they're not. And you know, and so I'm pleased. It does every aspect of the story make me look as perfect or proper? No. But guess what? I'm not. I'm just another guy out there. But I'm not afraid to take the slings and arrows. And there's nothing heroic about that. I like debate, and I enjoy government. And I think if a white guy from the East Coast, who's a lawyer, who makes more than an average income, isn't willing to jump into the fray, then how can we possibly expect anybody else to, Robert?
Yeah, I'm Bruce. Bruce's article in the Good Times does seem rather extensive. I've had my problems with Bruce's treatment of local issues in the past. The controversy between you...
Were they based on him acting in bad faith, or have him having a different perception? I'm just curious. I'm not defending him, but I'm curious.
Bruce has written laudatory articles about the medical marijuana activities of Mayor Crone and the city council and the corrals of Wham, without mentioning in any respect that there was no medical marijuana club in Santa Cruz because of the laws colluded on by Crone, Rotkin, and the corrals that essentially zone out clubs until this very last summer.
Here's my question, though. Do you think he's a captive of them? Or do you think perhaps that he's acted in good faith but hasn't really fully understood the scope of the story, or is the truth in the middle?
It's hard to make a judgment, but, you know, I responded...
He's not a stooge, and some of the daily reporters in some metropolitan areas are almost stooges, and I don't find him to be that.
Well, I think that in terms of local issues, if you will, most of these folks are stooges in the sense that they don't want to raise constitutional issues locally unless there's a lot of shine and respectability on the other side that they can you know, get bolstered. You're not going to hear about people from the streets who get beat up or people in the beach flats who are spread-eagled by the Santa Cruz Police Department. Even people who get shot dead by Officer Connor Carey, like Happy John Dine, you'll get it from indie media, you'll get it from my show, but you're not going to hear Bruce write about it or Sarah Phelan. They won't do that.
What about indie media and your show? I'm presuming you're not suggesting that you guys are the only pure journalists who are on top of everything. Is
hey, we are the purest, man. Now, come on, you know that.
Is it possible, though, that your presentation to some extent is biased and flawed, and isn't that part of just being in journalism? And isn't, at least if Bruce Willey doesn't get it, I don't think you're charging that he's like working for Barisoni. At least he's not co-opted, and he doesn't work for some major multinational corporation.
No, I think there's a liberal establishment in this community that excludes a lot of us who are, a number of us, myself and other activists who are working around homeless issues, because they're told by people like Mike Rotkin or other liberals who are in high esteem that, you know, our opinions aren't worth considering, that our facts are false, and that Bruce doesn't go any deeper than that.
Well,
you know,
let me say, I think you're right. I agree with 99% of that. And what I think you're saying, and let's set aside other people, I think for you, Robert, I think that you have been marginalized by the mainstream press and by the so-called alternative press. And I don't know why, and I don't think there's a single reason. But like when you've had significant victories in court, it's not reported in the press. And when you make news and when you say important things at the city council, it's rarely reported. And it'd be an interesting show. It'd be hard for you to do your own show, but on Robert Norse. But you're a lightning rod, and for whatever reason, over the years, you've pissed some people off. I don't know if it's a whispering campaign or I don't know what it is, but I don't think you're paranoid. I think it's true that when you make news, or when you do provocative things, they're not reported in the same way they would be by someone with the same information and presentation who didn't happen to be you. And I know for a fact that a lot of the city council people have hold you in contempt.
As they
and
should.
Well, perhaps so. That's another story. But so it's intriguing to me in a way that you have such a high visibility among certain folks. And then when it comes to reporting, it's not disparaged. I think oftentimes when you do newsworthy things, it seems to be ignored. Am I wrong?
No. And however, on the other hand, there are some who will still talk to me. For example, Mayor Mike Rotkin will be on the air 11 o'clock on Sunday. We'll be talking about medical marijuana and other issues. I've got a role, and I thank you, Paul.
Let me say that I think Rotkin has a lot of guts, and whether we like him or not, I think that good for him that he keeps talking to people.
I think he just has a lot of ego, frankly, but I hear what you're saying,
unlike you and me, he's alone in that one.
Well, certainly not. I have no ego whatsoever. Paul
Sanford.
That's
right, Uncle Bobby.
Thank you for being on the air with me, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, that was Paul Sanford, attorney at law. It's time for me to leave. I'll be coming back on Sunday, 9:30. Yes, and coming on is some questionable aging hippie-type guy who will play old 60s tunes, and it's just a shocking phenomenon. But actually, a lot of people like it. I think you'll like it from the cream to the dregs coming right up. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. If you've got any news and views or you want to be on the air, give me a call at 427-3772. Actually, that's on the air. Give me a call off-air at 423-4833. Or check out the show on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org. Until Sunday, thanks for being with me.